Tonight is part five of our series Insights into Tefillah, discussing tonight Birchas Kriyat Shema. Once again, I want to thank Avi and Becky Katz for their sponsorship. Kriyat Shema, as we know, is bracketed in the morning by three brachos, two before and one after. At night, we'll see, based on the Mishnah, there are two before and two after, although we say three after. But the brachos reflect the Yisodei Hadas, which are then punctuated by Kriyat Shema. And that's what we'll discuss tonight. Kriyat Shema is Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim, the acceptance of the yoke of God's kingship, which will be our next topic. But Kriyat Shema is preceded by two statements, two declarations of certain fundamental ideas, and followed by one. And that's what we have to understand. How is it related, and why do we say those, and why in that order? Now, of course, it starts with something else. Mechaber says in Arachayim Siman Nun Zayin Sif Aleph, Omer Shliach Tzibur Baruch Hu Hashem Hamvaroch. Before this starts, after Yishtabach, after Kaddish, the Shat says Baruch Hu, and the Kol responds Baruch Hashem Hamvaroch La'olam Vaed. Literally, it's a request, Baruch Hu, let us bless God who is inherently blessed. And the Kol responds, blessed is the blessed God forever and ever. And the Shatz repeats it because he's part of the Tzibur, has to bless God as well. So the immediate response to Baruch Hu is Baruch Hashem Hamvaroch. But Baruch Hu has a specific purpose as well, which the Mishnah Brura noted in number 2, Siman Nun Dalet, Sifkat and Yud Gimel. So he starts that Ronim wrote that between Kaddish and Baruch Hu, one cannot talk. It's like Bein HaProkim. And after Baruch Hu, even before you start Birchas Yotzer, it's Emtza Perek. So there you're even limited in what you can answer in terms of brachos. Now he says, Ki ikra kavanas hashatz ma sheomer Baruch Hu es Hashem, haynu sheyivarchu achakach bivirchas Yotzer. The essential purpose for saying Baruch Hu is an invitation by the Shatz to the Tzibur to say these brachos. So Baruch Hu really is something which always precedes a series of brachos. The examples we have, of course, are Baruch Hu here in Shacharis, Baruch Hu at Ma'ariv starts those series of brachos, and Baruch Hu before a person gets an Aliyah, which are followed by the two brachos as well, one before the Kriyas HaTorah and one after the Torah. We've discussed on other occasions the appended Baruch Hu that some add at the end of davening, based on Minhag Sfard, which is not Minhag Ashkenaz. You know, the late comers at Ma'ariv always do this. And one thing I've tried to point out is you can't have an orphaned Baruch Hu. So for a person to say Baruch Hu, Stam, have people answer Baruch Hashem without anything following, is leaving the Baruch Hu orphaned. So one thing that we've instituted for the late comers is to say the Baruch Hu, we don't encourage it, but if they're going to do it, they should do it before we say the Tehillim. Because at least then they're saying Kapitel Tehillim afterwards, along with the Tefillah. Sometimes they come even later than the Tehillim, in which case they have to wait for the next minyan. Now, that's Baruch Hu. After Baruch Hu, that invitation to say these brachos, we start the brachos, which are very ancient origin. Number 3, the Mishnah brachos, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. B'shacha mevarach shtayim lefaneha v'achas l'achareha uve'erev mevarach shtayim lefaneha u'shtayim l'achareha achas aruka v'achas k'tzara. Just like in the morning, there are two brachos before Kriyat Shema. One is long, Yotzer Or, and one is shorter, Avarabo. Why are there this setup? 2 plus 1 in the morning, 2 plus 2 in the evening. So Rashi says there in brachos, Kedamar bevrachos Yerushalmi, Sheva brachos halalu, al shem Sheva bayom il alticha. These 7 blessings correspond to the pasuk in Tehillim that we praise God 7 times. Sheva bayom, 7 times a day, Hilal Ticha, I'll praise you. Now this Yerushalmi I cited in number 5. It's in the first parak of Brachos. Rabbi Yossi Barovin, Shem Shuvin Levi, Al Shem Sheva Bayom Hilal Ticha, Al Mishpatei Tzekecha. We praise you 7 times for your righteous judgments. Rav Nachman B'Shem Rav Mani added, Kol HaMekayim Sheva Bayom Hilal Ticha, Ki'ilu Kiyem V'Yigiso Bo Yomom V'Loilo. A person who says these 7 brachos, so we know what they are, Yotzeror and Avarab in the morning, followed by Gol Yisrael, the evening, Mariv Aravim, Oiv Amo Yisrael, and then afterwards, Gol Yisrael, and Shomer Amo Yisrael Lo'ad. The other bracha for another time. Please hold my calls. So that's Sheva B'Yom Hilal Ticha. What does that mean, really? Sheva B'Yom Hilal Ticha Al Mishpatei Tzidkecha. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that Mishpatei Tzidkecha is really a description of Kriya Shema. Mishpatei Tzidkecha, the judgments of your righteousness, that is Kabbalas al Malchus Shemayim and Kabbalas al Mitzvos. We accept God's kingship and we accept His commandments as well. So therefore, when we're doing that, acknowledging Mishpatei Tzidkecha, we frame it, so to speak, with 7 brachos. What about the second maimer? That a person who says Sheva b'yom hilal ticha, these 7 brachos, ki'ilu kiyem v'agisa b'yomom v'loilo. It's as if you fulfill the mitzvah to meditate on the Torah day and night. What does that have to do with anything? What is the meditation on Torah that is implicit in these 7 brachos? So I think the answer is v'agisa b'yomom v'loilo is the basic mandate of Talmud Torah. That's the mitzvah. A person should learn by day and learn by night. In the worst case scenario, how does a person fulfill that obligation? Kriya Shema. You say Kriya Shema in the morning, Kriya Shema in the evening. On the simplest level, you fulfill the mitzvah of Vagiso Bo Yomom V'Loilo. But it means something else, because here it's not Kriya Shema, here it's Sheva B'Yom Hilal Ticha. So what's the pshat? So I think the answer really leads into the subject of the shiur tonight. That these 7 brachos that we recite contain the ideas that are at the essence of Talmud Torah. The Yisodei Hadas. To be a Jew is going to stand and say Kriya Shema, sit and say Kriya Shema. You can't just say it. There has to be some type of introduction. The person has to reiterate basic ideas about God and about the role of the Jewish people, which in a sense qualifies us to say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So if a person is articulating these ideas, that is Talmud Torah. Kol HaMekayim Sheva B'Yom Hilal Ticha. A person says these 7 brachos, says, reflects on these 7 brachos, that is a key of Talmud Torah. It's, in a sense, if we really think about the ideas, it's as much Talmud Torah as Kriya Shema is. Maybe on some level it's a greater act of Talmud Torah, because the Yisodei Hadas are broken down. What exactly then do we say? Look at the Aruch HaShulchan first, and Siman Nun Tes Sif Aleph, it's number 7. She says, "Now, Shekhnes Agdola ordained that we should say 2 brachos before Kriya Shema, Yotzer Or Ava Rabba, 1 after Gal Yisrael. At night it's different, and that's the Mishnah. Sheva Bayom Hilal Ticha. Skip down to Sif Gimel. And before that, we'll take up number 6, which really introduces it. It's the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Nuntes Sif Aleph. So we say the bracha, Brachat Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Yotzer Or Uvorei Choshech, God who formed light and created darkness. Tiknu Lahazkir Midas Laila B'Yom Lahotzi Milev Apikarsim Sheomrim Shemisha Bora Or Lo Bora Choshech. It's interesting. It would make more sense that we should mention the light by day and mention the darkness by night, because that's what we experience. And in terms of acknowledging God as the Creator, those are the manifestations of nature that are before us. No, the Gemara says, and the Mechaber quotes it, that we mention light and darkness in the morning. Same thing at night. Asher bidbaro ma'ariv aravim. It goes on, mentions the light as well. Why? In order to contradict the apikorsim who maintain that he who created light did not create darkness. So you have that contradiction. Yotzer or uvorech hoshech. That duality, so to speak. Now you have another duality. Yotzer or uvorech hoshech. Oseh shalom. God who makes peace. Uvoreyas hakol. Created everything. Now that's not the pasuk. That phrase, Yotzer or uvorech hoshech. Oseh shalom. Is a pasuk from Yeshayo, Perek Memhei, which ends not uvorei esakol, but yotzer v'chosha oseh shalom uvorei eshara, that God created evil as well. That language, the Gemara says, was taken out, substituted by a lishna ma'alya, a more pleasant phrase. Not that God created evil, but created everything. Everything includes evil. Look how the Aruch HaShulchan discusses it in Sif Gimel. So Yotzer v'choshech oseh shalom v'ra'es hakol uv'yishaya kosuv kein uv'shem siyuma dekra uvorei ra. God created evil. V'lo ratzu l'hazkir dava ra. We don't want to mention God as the creator of evil, so to speak. Elo lishna ma'aliyo dakol. It used a neutral, a pleasant euphemism that God created everything. V'akavona achasi. There's one intention in both references, Or Choshech and Kol, and I'm sorry, Shalom and Kol. V'hochi perusho lahotzi midas haminim sheshtei reshuyo saying poel tov ufoel ra, to confound the heretics who maintained this duality, Rachmana Litzlan, that there are two gods, there are two forces in existence. The God of light and the God of darkness. The God of good and the God of evil. And that, of course, such an opinion is a direct contradiction to Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad speaks to the singularity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Achdus Hashem. That God is a uniform entity. So Yotzer Baruch Hoshech, Oseh Shalom Baruch Hakol, points out really three of the first four fundamentals of the Rambam. One is that God exists, God created the world, and Achdus Hashem. Achdus Hashem, that God is a single unit, so to speak. That God is a unified entity and not divisible into parts. Now, dualism was extant in the world in ancient times, certainly the time of the Gemara. The Zoroastrians were a dominant religious force in Arabia. But dualism exists today, and we should recognize it. I mentioned last year, one of the Shabbatos, I think it was Mishpatim, oh, it was Yisro, I'm sorry, it was last year Yisro, that we have a tendency also to subdivide God into the good God and the bad God, the God who has to be appeased, the God who is merciful, and what that gives rise to is a phenomenon that we're all familiar with. The notion that God can be manipulated through various segulos, or incantations, that have nothing to do with schar v'onesh, nothing to do with a person's moral perfection, nothing to do with chachma, rather just do this, or wear this, or say this, and somehow we're going to pull the wool over God's eyes. And really, we're not so good, but because we're doing this, he'll think we are good. Such an attitude really evinces a dualistic impulse. That's the best way to say it. As if there is no Torah, no Mishpat Echad, there's no Hashem Echad, but there are different aspects or nuances of God that can be appealed to in order to protect ourselves or improve ourselves. Things which have nothing to do inherently with the system of Torah. So, to say in fact that God is Yotzer Baruch Hoshech, Oseh Shalom Baruch Hakol, is a very far-reaching statement. It's not a simple statement. It's something which is an introduction to Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And in fact, if we don't recognize God as the creator of everything, not just what we perceive as good, but even that which we perceive as not so good, it's a big problem. It's a big philosophical problem. It's a big problem in terms of the individual as well. Such a person who tries to manipulate God this way is positing that God has certain sides that can be appealed to on the one hand or dodged on the other hand. And that, of course, can't be. Ra is also part of God's creation. It's not a separate force which has independent powers. So then I'll ask you, if that's the case, why does the Gemara say, on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis in Brachos, that Chazal chose a Lishna Malia? Why not simply say, God is Osa Shalom, Uvore Ra? We're big people, we could handle it. What's the answer? I think the answer is that to say Uvore Ra is not a Shevach Hashem necessarily. Because God, first of all, God doesn't create Ra inherently. What God did is allow a system of Bechira to exist. So to allow Bechira to exist presupposes that people can make bad choices and that evil can exist. So it's not that there was a direct creation of evil. Tzuvor is hakol. An entire holistic system was created in which the possibility of evil exists, just like the possibility of good exists. But in fact, when Ra does rear its ugly head, it in fact frustrates the Ratzon Hashem. If it frustrates the Ratzon Hashem, then we can't say that as a shevach, as praise of God. Because something which thwarts God's will is not a praise of God. It's not an insult, chas v'shalom. It's an insult to man that he doesn't choose well. But it can't be perceived simply as a undiluted praise of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So God who illuminates the earth and dwells upon it, those who dwell upon it, berachamim, with mercy. Why mercy? So that Abu Draham says here, but God is merciful with all his creations. The earth also benefits from the light, as the sunlight causes vegetation to grow, fruit to sprout, etc. Additionally, man benefits from Hameir La'aretz, V'la'darim Oleha B'rachamim. What's the rachamim? So Budra makes a very interesting point. He says that, as we know, light comes upon us gradually, and then illuminates the day, and then departs gradually. Imagine if the difference between night and day was sudden. The darkness of night became the brightness of midday, which soon faded into the blackness of night again, without the gradations of dawn or twilight. Think of how discombobulated we get. Let's say a person wakes up and the light is on in the room for whatever reason. It's very hard to adjust. Your eyes are weakened by it. It's upsetting. So therefore, Amer Loretz, V'ladar Maleha, Berachamim. God was Meir Ladar Maleha with mercy to give us time to acclimate ourselves to the light and give us time to acclimate ourselves at the end of the day to the loss of light. That is Berachamim. That's a compassionate creator. Now, the bracha goes on, extolling the virtues of creation as we see it, especially beautiful pasuk Morabu Masech Hashem, taken from the Kapitel of Baruch Nafshi in Kuf Dalet. How manifold are your deeds, O God! Kulam bechochma asisa, mala haaretz kinyonecha. You made all of them with wisdom. The earth, the world is filled with your possessions. That is the Shevach of the Borei Olam. That everything that exists in God's world is made b'chachma, with tremendous wisdom. And even a cursory overview of the universe and its complexities, and yet the way it's interconnected as well, reveals to us the great chachma of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that wisdom that harmony that exists in nature is, of course, what attracted the attention of a certain great individual in our history. That's Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu came to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to recognize his existence, because he saw the ingeniousness, the brilliance that existed in nature, the harmony, and the fact that such a world, such a universe, could not have been random, but had to have a first cause and a prime mover. That really is the bracha. It forces us to reflect on creation. Yotzar is the first thing that was created by Hior, and the way the rest of creation unfolded as well. This leads up to the central part of the first bracha, which is a very strange insertion, and that is Kedusha. Kedusha. We don't often think about it this way, but in fact, we say Kedusha three times in Shacharis. And this is the first time Kedusha diyotzer. Whenever we say Kedusha, in fact, all we do is mimic the Malachim. We imitate what the angels do for reasons I'll discuss in a moment. But in Eshem, which starts the process of, paragraph before, which introduces the notion that we're going to praise God in the same way that the Malachim do. Each of them accept upon themselves the yoke of God's kingship. They ask permission one to the other. So that is the origin of what we know as responsive reading. The Shat says one thing and Mikal says something else. Back and forth. That's Nostim Rishus Zelozeh. They don't all say the same thing together. Rather, they operate, we speak consecutively. The Shat says one thing, we say the next. Like, Kulam Kechad Onim Va'omer B'Yira, and we'll say Kadosh Kadosh. And the Shats will say, L'masam Shabchim Ve'omrim, and we'll say Baruch Kvar Hashem Imkamo. And that's the way Kedusha is to be recited. One point, style point, like Dishli Otsar Benachas Ruach, to sanctify the Creator who formed them, Nachas Ruach, with tranquility, B'sof of Rura, with clear speech, Uvinima Kedosho. So Abu Draham maintains that the correct Girsa is Uvinima Kedosho, with a holy melody. And then we say, Kulam Kechod Onim Va'omer B'Yira. Abu Draham says this, the Beis Yosef says this, the Ari says this as well. Rav Avraham Yosef has a tshuva in the 8th chelik of Yabi Omer. I think it's, I wrote it down, chelik Ches Simon Yud Aleph in Aruch Chaim Yabi Omer. So he justifies the Sofe Verua Uvenimo with clear and pleasant speech. But in fact, the majority seem to maintain the girsa is uvinimo kedosho. It's an adjective, not a noun introducing the next phrase. Because it flows. Nachas ruach, safav rura, ne'imo kedosho. What's a holy melody? So the Abu Draham, I cited the number 8. With a voice pure, holy, a pleasantness of voice that is holy and pure. Uchsiv uneim zmiros umepneshe kar lasof of ruakar gamkein lenima kedosha derech havara. And he adds, "V'yesh yichidim akarim kedusha kulam keachod v'rishon nacham." In fact, that's a gears you find in some sidurim. Most don't have it. Most sidurim have kedusha kulam keachod. But if you're ever davening in shul, listening carefully, I've noticed that over the years, I think there are 4 or 5 shlichei tzibur that will say sofa v'rura uvenima kedusha. One of them being me, but I know there are at least four other people in the shul who, when it comes to that paragraph, recite it like that.
Does it matter
where
the onim goes?
Is it onim beyomrim, or the onim? It should be onim, and then ve'omrim beyirah, they say. That onim. Onim came before. Kulam ke'echad onim. They answer. What do they answer? Omrim beyirah. All right? Agal Borcha, in the last bracha, you have a similar phraseology. Moshe b'nei Yisrael achonu shira b'simcha rabah, that Moshe b'nei Yisrael, they answer the shir with great joy. V'amru chola michamocha be'lim Hashem. And they answered. They all said, michamocha, who is like you amongst the mighty God? Not, you know, as people read it, unfortunately, because I guess the tune works a little better. Lochanu shira was b'simcha rabah v'amru chola. Now that doesn't make any sense. It's lochanu shira b'simcha rabah. Pause. All right, tefillah requires thought. There's no doubt about it. Now the question is, why are we saying Kedusha here? This is known as Kedusha the Yotzer. Why? And who should say it? It's not so simple. Look at number 9, which is in Sif Gimel of Simon Nuntes. Yesh Omrim Shakedusha Shebi Yotzer Yochid Omro Lefisha Eina Ela Super Dvarim. Some say the Kedusha, this Kedusha, a Yochid says it, and that's a person davening alone, because it's just Sipur Dvar, which is relating what happens. V'yesh Omrim sheYochid Medalga, some say the Yochid individual should skip Kedusha de Yotzer, if he's not with the Tzibur. V'eino Nemeres Ela Bet Tzibur, it's only recited with the Tzibur. No different than, we know the Locha Yud Gimel Midos, a person saying Slichas alone. So he adds the same out, Mechaber does, that people utilize if they're saying Slichos on their own and want to recite Yud Gimel Midos. They say it not B'Torah Slichos, like we would not say this here B'Torah Kedusha, but we'd say it B'Torah, as a person just reciting Psukim. How do we demonstrate we're just reciting Psukim? We read it with the trup. So that's what the Mechaber says. If a person's alone, he should be choshesh to read this with the trup. We know this because this Haftorah, we read this Haftorah on Shavuos morning. Everybody listens. Shavuos morning, read the Haftorah, and not only do we recite the praise of the Malachim from Yeshayah, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos, but we append the pasuk from Yechezkel, "Vatisein ruach hashmachrei kol rash gadol baruch kavod Hashem imkama." We append it as well. What's the machlokas, by the way? Should a yochid say it? Should a yochid not say it? So we have to understand what exactly is kedusha. Well, maybe we'll revisit this in Shemoneh Esrei, but it's a good introduction now. What exactly is kedusha? What are we saying? So I heard from my Rebbe, Rabbi Chait, explain once. What exactly is Kedusha? I mean, what's Kadosh? Holy. What does holy mean? Holy is one of those words that to us is very ephemeral. It doesn't say anything. We think we understand it, but we don't. Holy means separate. It means apart, unique. Rashi says, Kedoshim Tiyu. Rashi the Darshan is quoting the Medrash, Purushim Tiyu. You should be separate. To be a kadosh means to be distinct, separate, and apart. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. And this is fully explicated in the final kedusha, the kedusha de Sidro in Uvolatzio. Kadosh, God is distinct, unique, in the abstract world. How do we say it in Uvolatzio? Because there we append, that's a kedusha of Lima Torah. So in fact, we add the Targum, explaining the Psukim. So there we say that God is Kadosh B'Shmei Maromo Ilo B'Shchinte, in the abstract world, the abode of His presence. He's also Kadosh in the physical world that He created, Al Ara Ovat Gvorte, and He's Kadosh L'Olam L'Olme Almayo. He's Kadosh forever and ever, meaning He is holy, He is unique, He is separate, He's outside of time and space. He's not confined, which means He is eternal, Kadmus Hashem, which is the fourth Yisod in the Rambam. But the problem is, and we say it so often, Kadosh, 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 God is holy here, holy there, holy everywhere. The problem is that we don't really recognize it. We say the words, but we don't know really what it means that God is Kadosh, in Beishchinte. What does that mean to us? So we have a hard enough time saying that God is Kadosh al Ara Ovad Vorte in the world He created. What does it really mean to us, frail, temporal, finite human beings, to say God is Kadosh la'olam olmeil mayo, that He transcends time and space? We say the words, but we don't really recognize the concept, because it's a concept that's foreign to man. Who recognizes the concept? The Malachim. The Malachim, they don't fully understand, we'll see in a moment. But yet, because they are not tied to physical bodies, just intelligences created by God, so therefore they have a clear understanding of what Kedushas Hashem is. That's why the only thing we can do is imitate their words. Try to reckon with the ideas as best we can, but imitate their words. When we imitate their words, though, it's not something which can be trivialized, because it reflects the ultimate state of Klal Yisrael, declaring that God is Kadosh. We say that is really the purpose of Kedusha. And that's why Kedusha so obviously needs the entity of Tzibur. If the purpose of Klal Yisrael is to be Mekadesh Hashem, the purpose of our nation is to sanctify God's name, so you need a representation of the nation, which is a group of 10, a minyan. So now you understand the second opinion the Mechaber cites. If there's no minyan, a yachid can't say it. Because how dare a yachid, an individual, deign to think that he alone can imitate the praise of Malachim? That can't be. What's the first opinion? So Mechaber says, well, a yochid can say it because this is just the kedusha of Sipur Dvarim. We're not actually saying it. It's not the kedusha of Shmoneh Esrei, which is the kedusha of Tefillah. We're reciting this praise as part of our prayers, part of our davening. So then we're actually saying it almost in place of the Malachim. Or Kishem Shemakdishim Oso Bishmei Morom. We take it upon ourselves to do it here. This is just Sipur Dvar. We are relating, almost biographically in a sense, what the Malachim do, and therefore we repeat it as well. The Malachim articulate that God is Kadosh, and His Kedusha fills the universe. And yet, Baruch Kavod Hashem Mimkamo. What's the source of His Kedusha? Even the Malachim cannot recognize that. That's beyond their ken as well. Mimkamo, it cannot be traced to a specific source. It's His place, His abode. Atar Beit Shechintei, as the Kedusha Desidrus Targum says, it's the place where His Shechinah resides, a concept that's even beyond the Malachim. Hu Mikamo Shel Olam, V'lo Olam Mikamo. He is really the place of the world. He is the place of the world. The world is not in place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the great power of the Tzibur, tremendous power that we have because of our Bechira, to elevate ourselves to the loftiest levels of those who are most pure and speak B'Sofa Vrura Uvenima Kedosha. Look at the Gemara in Chulin Daf Tzadi Aleph Amud Bez. Number 10. Chavivin Yisrael Lifnei Kadosh Baruch Hu Yoseh Mimalachi Hashareis. Jews are more precious to God even than the ministering angels. She Yisrael Omim Shira B'Chol Shah. We say Shira every hour. We're constantly saying, you say Kedusha 4 times a day, including Mincha. We say Shiros, Tishbachos, Tehillim, etc. We can always praise God. Malach HaShareis, they say Shira maybe once a day, once a week, once a month, once a year, once a Shemitah cycle, once a Yovel, once in an existence, depending on the Malach. Yisrael Maskir Nes Hashem Achashtei Tevos. We mention God's name after 2 words, Shema Yisrael, Hashem. The angels mention God's name after 3 words, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos. That's nice, Chaviv in Yisrael. What exactly does it mean? I think it means that we are more influential representatives, more influential agents of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the universe than even the Malachim. Why? Oh, Malachim can't be seen, of course, but there's a deeper reason. It's because we have Bechira. Because we have Bechira, so we're not programmed to serve God. One can make an argument exactly opposite, because the Eitz Hara, we're programmed not to serve God. We have to remove ourselves from the world of the instinct to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But therefore, that gives us our power. We have the power greater than the Malachim to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the Malachim cannot be demeaned. Look at the Rambam, number 11, Hilchos Yisrael Torah, Per Gimel Achates, Kol HaKochavim VaGilgolim, I'm sorry, Vahagalgalim, Kulam Balei Nefesh Vedev Vahaskelhem. The stars and the spheres, they're all intelligences. They're intelligences. They have a type of chokhmah that we cannot relate to. And they exist, they're alive, and they recognize the Creator. Hashemai misaprim kavod kel, umase yodov magido rakia. It's not just words, it's not pleasantries, it's real. So it's a type of intelligence that we can't recognize. There are such things, we'll get back to in a moment, but these are the intelligences. Kol echad v'echad l'fi gadlo, l'fi ma'avoso, mishabchim mufarim liyotzram kama malachim. Just like the angels praise God, so too the luminaries praise God as well. If that's the case, and the Rambam concludes, Das ha'kochav magalgalim mi'uta midas ha'malachim u'gedol midas b'nei adam, the level of intelligence of the luminaries is greater than ours, but less than the malachim. The intelligence of the malachim exceeds ours, and nevertheless, chaviv in Yisrael, lifnei Kadosh Baruch Hu, yoser mi'malach esharis. That is really the great test. Even though their wisdom and their faithfulness exceeds ours, nevertheless, our influence in the universe can exceed theirs, if only we grasp our mission. Planets, stars, meteors, the created bodies that fill the universe. They have purposes that we can't relate to. How do we know that? So let's look up. So the Tur says, Nun Tes, number 12, what's the end of the bracha? V'nogim ashkenaz lachtom ka'amur la'osei orim gedolim ki la'olam chasto. How does the bracha end? So Ashkenazim say, as it is said, give thanks to him who made the great luminaries, for his kindness endures forever. And then what do we say? Or chadosh al tzion tayir v'nizkechu lanu mehira li'oro. May you, God, shine a new light on Sion, and may we all merit speedily its light. We say, Baruch Atah Hashem, V'nizkeh chalon meir l'ra, Baruch Atah Hashem yotzei amaros. V'ein ogen kein b'sfarad. Minik Sfarad doesn't say Or Chadosh. And Rashi says too, we should not say Or Chadosh al Sion to hear. Why? She'ein lachtom be'or he'osid, she'eino me'ein achasimo. We should not answer with a conclusion that does not reflect the theme of the bracha. The theme of the bracha is not geula, or chadash al tzion toir. The theme of the bracha is creation. So why then do we say it? Why then do we say it? So the Tur quotes his father, the Rosh, in a tshuva, dehevi shapir mein achasim o'psicho. Diyotzer or hainu or shabar kadosh baruch hu b'sheish yisumei breishis. The Rosh says that the Or Chadosh we're talking about here, it's not Geula necessarily. We're talking about the revelation of a supernal light that was created on the first day of creation and then was hidden by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Chazal say, and stored away for the righteous La'asid Lava. And that's what we're asking for, the revelation of this light. So the question is, what is this light? We all want to know. So Rabbi Chait explained it once, that this light, I mean, light always represents knowledge. And what it means is that as we get closer to Yemos HaMashiach, and certainly past Yemos HaMashiach, we will have an accessibility to knowledge which heretofore was beyond man's perception. And we see this already in our time. I mean, the strides that science has made in the last century dwarfs what science made in the previous 19 centuries. knowledge is coming to us at a faster and faster rate, and our ability to understand the universe is also increasing exponentially. That's the Or Chadash. So why was this light hidden on the first day of creation and reserved for the tzaddikim? So the Medrash says, lest the Rishaim get hold of it. So now we know very well, because now it's in Yonah D'Yomah. There's certain knowledge that really was not extant in mankind until, say, 60 years ago. And the great fear that we have is that at least part of that knowledge, the atomic physics, nuclear physics, the president says nuclear physics, will fall into the wrong hands.
And now you have artificial intelligence and all the dangers that poses.
See, imagine if Rishaim had access to that type of knowledge 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago. Well, they're even more primitive than they are today. Maybe it's the same, but it seems they were more primitive. Imagine if they had the capacity to inflict such great evil in ancient times. No, that knowledge had to be hidden. The world could not have used it productively. It's reserved for the righteous. So that's what we ask for. The Rosh says, because it's part of creation. It's not a separate phenomenon, gula. When the gula comes, then this knowledge will be extant. This dimension of knowledge, which was heretofore hidden, will be revealed to all. Al-Tzion Toir. It'll come to us through a silicon vadi in Eretz Yisrael. Silicon vadi, rather, in Eretz Yisrael. This Eretz will be the conduit for that knowledge to the world. And that is the tefillah. That concludes the tefillah Yotza Maros. What's the first idea? First basic idea? God is Borei Olam. It's, again, a repetition of Baruch She'amar V'hoya Olam Baruch Hu. That God is the Creator. For us, everything flows from that. That's the start, that's the catalyst, it's the starting point for everything. But of course, as you remember from Baruch Shamar, we cannot rest on that idea alone. And there's a second basic fundamental idea that must be recited, and that's an Avar Abba. So Mechaber says in Siman Samech, Sif Aleph, number 13, Bracha Shnia Avas Olam. The second Bracha, Avas Olam, the Ramah says, Yeshomrim Avar Rabba, B'chein Noagim B'chol Ashkenaz. We say in the morning, Avar Abba. In the evening we say Avas Olam, and of course it's Eino Pasachas Bebaruch, it's Brachas Smuchel Chaverta. Of course, look at the Mishnah Berurah number 14, the flip side, Sifkaton Beis and Siman Samech. We say Ava Rabba Hainu Baboker, Avo Baerev Nogim Lomar Avas Olam. In the evening we say Avas Olam. Atam shenogu lomar baboker ava rabba mishum dechsiv chadashim la bekarim rabba emunasecha, that you're renewed in the morning, rabba, great is your, abundant is your faithfulness. All this is lechadchilo. B'diyevet, if you say ava solom, it's also fine. Even in the morning, yotze yidei chavasa. What's the difference between ava rabba and ava solom? So this new sefer Beruma Shel Olam, I cited number 19, quotes the Maral in the Nesiva Solom. Second law, Ki Ahefresh Bein Ava Rabba U Bein Ava Solom. This is the difference. Ki Ava Rabba Brochi Al Godel Ava. Ava Rabba is a bracha, blessing about the greatness, almost quantitatively, of the love that God loves for us. But Ava Solom is Al Nitzchias Ava Zos. It's on the eternity, the enduring quality of that Ava. In the morning, Chadashim La B'Karim, Rabu Munasecha, in the morning we see the hand of God, we see the great love of God. We see it in our deeds, in the way we exist. It's night which gives us the greatest problem. Night is a time of foreboding, a time of fear. That's why, for example, we say, it's Lahagid Baboker Chasdecha, your kindness, loving kindness, is relayed in the morning. At night, night is galus, exile. Night we rely on emuna. So in fact, at nighttime we speak about the nitzchius, the eternity, the eternal nature of the Ava. That even though it's not apparent in galus in its fullest extent, to the great quantity of Ava Rabba, nevertheless it exists, Avas Olam, in a way that cannot be extinguished. Va'avascha al tasir mimenu la'olamim. God's love for Klal Yisrael can never, he will never scorn, never despise. That love will always exist. What's the second basic idea? First, God's the Borei Olam. What's the second? That God is the Mashkiach. He supervises. He guides the world. He's the source of the moral law of the world. And of course, that he chose Klal Yisrael. Vatzlamdeim chukei chayim, he taught us Torah. And we pray, same libeinu la'avir, la'skil, l'shmoa, l'ilmod, l'lame, l'shmor, v'lasos, l'kanus kol divrei tamu toras techo b'yavo. Pray that God should give us all these things to related to our Talmud Torah, to understand, grow wise, to listen, learn, teach, observe, do, fulfill all the words of your Torah b'yavo. I told the story a few years ago from the Magid of Yerushalayim, Rav Shvadron. Beautiful story. This is the mashal of a person, an ani, calls up a fellow early in the morning, and if you heard it, stop me. An ani calls up, I won't stop, but you can tell me anyway. An ani calls up a wealthy person early in the morning, and he says, I need to see you meet, I have a big tzara. So the fellow says, come to my house at 8 o'clock. He doesn't show. And all right, the person thinks nothing of it. Next morning again, 6 a.m., he's back. He calls, I need to see you right away this morning. So the fellow says, I told you to come yesterday, he didn't show. So come, 8 o'clock. Again, he doesn't show. Next day, the same thing. Happens day after day. So the Magid of Yerushalayim said, that's what it is. What do we say to Kodesh Baruch Hu? And 15 minutes later, we're at the door. We're off to work. We've gone home. Shacharis is over. We've gone to other things. That the Magid said is what happens in Tefillah. We ask for all these things, be assembly beinu. And before God has a chance to respond, all right, the door to the Beis Medrash is open. Just sit, the Svarim are there waiting for you. No, by that time we're gone already. So you have Talmud Torah, and of course you have Klal Yisrael as well. The care of Tanu, L'shimcha Gadol, Bonu V'charta Mikolam V'loshon. You chose us from all the nations. God is the Mashgiach over all mankind, but has a unique relationship with Klal Yisrael. Now the praise of Torah constitutes, on some level, a quasi-birchas haTorah. So in fact, Mechaber says, if perchance a person would have forgotten to say the birchas haTorah in the morning, then if you say Ava Rabba, you're exempt, because Ava Rabba has the essence of the birchas haTorah in it. Now, this pshara, by the way, of saying Ava Rabba in the morning and Ava Solom in the evening, it's already in the Sefer Eshkol, it's already in the Rishonim. So it's ancient. And in fact, our tefillah represents both. So God is praised as a source of Torah, praised as Makabetz Golios, Bavienu L'shome Arba Kanfos Aretz, and of the controller of the national life of Israel. That's the second dimension that we must articulate. With the annunciation of God as the Borei, and God as a bocher ba'am Yisrael ba'ava, we're ready for Kabbalah, so Malchus Shemayim, ready to accept the yoke of God's kingship. What follows? Kriyashma. And Kriyashma then leads to, and the tefillah par excellence of Shemoneh Esrei is preceded by the Birchas HaGeula, which begins V'yatziv V'nochon V'kayom. Let's look at number 20. The tour again in Simon Samech Vav. Apparently there's a third idea that needs indispensably reference after Kriyashma before we daven. We say Emes V'yatziv because of the kindness God showed us in redeeming us, splitting the sea for us. And at night we speak not only about the sea, but Al Hagu'ula Shal Osid, Shono Ma'aminim Ume Kavim sheyikayim lonav tochaso v'yigolenu bikorov. That's at night. Inami, another reason we say this in the morning. Emes v'yatziv v'nochem v'kayon al she'onu mafkidim b'yodon nishmasenu b'chol laylo. We entrust our souls back to God at night, confident He'll return to us in the morning. But the essence of v'yatziv v'nochem and v'emunah kol zos,
is the following. Third line from the bottom. Omer Rabbi Rechinana Saba Mishmei Derav Komi Shalom Elmar Emes V'yatsiv Shacharis V'emes V'una Arvis Lo Yotzi Dechavoso. One who doesn't say V'yatsiv or V'muna Kozoz, morning and night respectively, is not Yotze. The Torah says perish Lo Yotzi Dechavos Lo Yotzi Dechavos HaMitzvah Ki Tikuno. You didn't fulfill the mitzvah b'shlei musa. Avol olam yotzei debrachas einam akvos. Kriyashma yotzei. But there is a dimension of kriyashma that is missing. If a person does not say emes v'yatziv, emes v'muno, a person must, as the Torah said, the Gemara says, must mention the Yitzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf day and night. Look at number 17. Something else happens in this bracha. The Gemara brachas daf tesem at beis. It's quoted in part and dalam at beis as well. Hey, Rabbi Yossi ben Eliyakim Mishum Kilo Kadisha di Rabbi Yerushalayim. So he quoted the Holy Congregation of Yerushalayim. It's a good minute to join. Kol asomech gula tefila en anisak kol yam kulo. A person who juxtaposes gula and tefila, meaning Gal Yisrael with the beginning of Shemon Esrei, is not harmed the entire day. I'm going to say, Gemara, skip a few lines. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Eizeu ben Olam Abba, who is worthy of the world to come, Zeu asomech gula shel arvis letfila shel arvis. The person who juxtaposes Gal Yisrael in Mayriv to Shmon Esrei. Rashi in 21, Rashi's on Brachos Dav Dalad Amit Beis, but the Gemara is brought as well, says, Zeu asomech gula shel arvis vekoshken shachar, certainly shachar's. Not only is it a mitzvah to be somech gul and tefillah, but it's really obligatory. It's not just a meritorious act; it's an obligatory act. The ikar gulas Mitzrayim b'shachris hava. Ikar gulas Mitzrayim was in the morning. Now Rashi himself brings a mashal. Misha from the Gemara bracha from the Yerushalmi and brachos. Misha eino somech gula tefila l'mau dome. A person who does not juxtapose Gal Yisrael and Shemon Esrei, to what can he be compared? La'avo shemelach shabav v'dafak al pischo shemelach yotza amelach umtso sheflig afu aflig. A king's friend came, knocked on the door, similar to the marshal of the Maggid. Knocks on the door of the king goes to answer the pal's door, and the friend is gone. Eliya Adam Mikarva Kadosh Baruch Hu Elov Umratzeh B'Tishbachos VeKilus UShaitzius Mitzrayim UMiskarev Elov. So, in contradistinction to that, we do is we knock on the door, Kivyachol, of Hakadosh Baruch Hu's palace, mention the praise of God who took us out of Egypt, and he Kivyachol goes to the door to greet us, Uva'odo Korov Elov. When he comes near to us, so to speak, we start asking our needs in tefillah. It's a way to bring ourselves closer to God, to mention the great chesed of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Now, one of the points we recognize in 15, which is Mechaber Kufyut Aleph, Sif Aleph, we go through all sorts of gyrations to be somech gul in tefillah. We don't even answer Amen after the bracha of Gal Yisrael. Some say you can't answer Amen of Gal Yisrael. It's part of the tefillah. The Torah said, but you see, we don't. In fact, this is how the Balabatish minute got started, of the Chazan not saying the last bracha. One of the things which grates on me terribly, so much so, it's in here that the Chazan, number 4, the Chazan must say the words Gal Yisrael before beginning aloud in bold print and not lower his voice. How did that start? Many shuls have that. So people should not answer Amen, so you don't say the Baruch out loud. The fact is, if someone is not up to that part of the davening, they can answer the Baruch out loud. They can, so the Chazan should say it. There are always people walking in the lake, God forbid, so they should answer Amen. What should a person do, though? You say Gal Yisrael with the Chazan. So you don't have to answer Amen. But when he starts saying the bracha, you start saying Hashem Svasai Tiftach. And then there's no problem. But the Chazan is the one who says brachas. The Kol should usually answer, but here we can't because of Smichas Gula Tfilah. The question is, of course, what is the significance? Why is it so important to be Somech Gula Tefillah? I spoke about this on Shabbos HaGadol. I think it was last year or the year before. If I don't remember the year, I just assume you don't remember what I said, so I'll repeat it anyway. So again, I heard this from my Rebbe. It's the highest... Well, what are we saying, Gal Yisrael? The highest degree of Shevach Hashem, of praise of God, that we can offer is not a personal Shevach, but it's how God relates to the Jewish people as a nation. How does He relate to us? He relates to us as a Goel, as a Redeemer. Smichas Gula Tefillah means that before we embark on our own personal Tefillah, which is the silent Amidah, every person must recognize that Geula is the very essence of our existence. Remember I said, what are we called by the Navi? Am Geulei Hashem, a people redeemed of God. And in that framework, we begin our Tefillah. What does it mean we're people redeemed of God? So, and I can't go through the whole thing now, but it means we're people taken out of the ordinary processes of history, the ordinary laws of nations, and elevated to a different plane of existence. One that is directly tied to the Creator of the world, Creator of the universe, directly tied. It's a different type of existence that we have, that no other nation has. So that's what we are known as, the Am Geulei Hashem. It means that tefillah is not just a series of personal requests. If a person would simply look at tefillah as a vehicle to ask for needs, so that's tefillah. But that's a very low level of tefillah, and it's a very poor relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tefillah is not just about needs. The real level of tefillah, the highest level, is where the yachid is tied to the ideas of Kiddush Hashem, and we are Mekadish Hashem primarily through the creation of a nation through the process of Geula. So how does it come about that we every morning are standing before God in prayer? It's because we're the Am Geulei Hashem, a nation that he redeemed to be Mekadish Shmo Berabim, to sanctify His name in the multitudes in front of the world. Then we can come before God. We say, we mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, we extol God for Yetzias Mitzrayim. So in the Yerushalmi that Rashi quotes, God Kavyocha comes to answer the door. That's our relationship. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzei Sicha, Me'eretz Mitzrayim. I am the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt. That's our relationship. We come with our calling card. Jew, I'm Gula Hashem. Now I'm here to stand before my Creator. That's why Smichas Gula Tefillah is indispensable. A person who's Somech is Ben Olam Abo. Somech means you recognize that we stand before God as part of a nation. The nation that He redeemed, and not simply as individuals pray. Every guy can pray too, everybody prays. But to pray is part of the Am Gula Hashem. To be part of the nation redeemed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is a different dimension entirely. And that type of relationship lifts us above the small petty needs which often animate our tefillah into a framework in which we recognize the broader world of the Hashgacha. So now I'll ask you, such a beautiful idea, Gal Yisrael. So what? That God is not only chose a people, but it's Goel of people, redeems them. Mi Mitzrayim Galtanu, Mi Beis Avadim Petisonu. Why don't we say it before Kriyashma too? Why do we have two before Kabbalah Samach Shemayim and one after? And the answer is, and I say this by way of summary, the progression that we have is before Kriyashma, we have to reiterate the fundamental values, the fundamental ideas of our existence, that God is the Bore and the Mashgiach and Bocher Ba'am Yisrael Ba'ava, He's the Nosein HaTorah, God is all that. But Geula is only a phenomenon that applies to a nation that is already Mekabel Ol Malchus Shamayim. Had there not been Kabbalah Ol Malchus Shamayim in Egypt, wouldn't have been a Geula. That's why we had mitzvahs before. Milah, Pesach, we had to establish our bona fides, our credentials, as Mekabel Omalchus Shamayim. We accept the yoke of God's kingship. We accept His mitzvos. Then we're able to stand before Hashem and say, we're the Amgule Hashem. Now, let us pray. Listen, Hashem, Sfasai Tiftach, Ufi, Yagiti Losecha. That's why it precedes the Avodah, but follows Kriyashma. Our Kabbalah, so Malchus Shamayim, is deficient unless we recognize that the objective of the Hashgacha in creating Klal Yisrael as an Ummah was the, I don't want to say animating, was the primary, the essential purpose HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in the world. In other words, what was the objective of the Hashgacha as he relates to man? Creating Klal Yisrael and preserving our existence. We recognize that, then we have the right to stand before the king and beseech him in tefillah. Then we come as members of a klal, we come armed with the mitzvah of kriyashma, armed with a reiteration of all the ideas that make us the Am Hashem. We could accept his kingship, we can come before him in tefillah. Next time, I think it's 2 weeks, next time we'll discuss kriyashma, and the time after that we'll discuss Shmoneh Esrei. Thank you very much.